Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Packers Podcast here with Bob McGinn with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JSOnline.com. Thank you for tuning in. We can't thank you enough. We get a lot of great feedback from everybody there, so thanks for tuning in, whether it's iTunes, whether it's on the website, wherever you're, however you're listening. Bob, good to see you. How you been?
Good. You're back from the girls' tournament in Green Bay at the Resch Center, and I'm back from covering a couple of boys' sectional games with Germantown.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a really good time. I'm sure you liked it, too. It's good to mix it up.
Darn right it was fun.
Yeah.
And totally.
I got to admit, you know, guilty as charged, going into the event, you know, I'm thinking girls' basketball. I'm thinking no shot clock. I'm thinking games might be 29 to 27. There's a lot of talent in this state, in girls' basketball. Right. It blew my mind. Obviously, Arike down there in Milwaukee, unbelievable game, 55 points, one of the best individual efforts I've ever seen live. She was just unreal. She's playing in Notre Dame. Hannah Whitish, even in Division Five. My gosh, there was a play where she gets trapped in her own end, falls to one knee, keeps her dribble, throws it up court on a fast break. She probably hit 5-6 threes. There's a lot of really good players. Gabby Green, another one, down in Milwaukee. So what was your take? How was Germantown?
Your writing reflected it, Tyler. I mean, you really got into those games. I read everything you wrote.
Thanks.
It was terrific stuff.
Thanks. It was
fun. I mean,
fun.
Shimmying through the lane at one point. That was a great word, shimmying.
She was a shimmier, like,
yeah,
Gabby Green.
Awesome.
She was good.
Germantown, I saw them at Whitefish Bay, defeat Homestead, their arch rival, and then a great game against Kimberly Saturday at Manitowoc. The one thing I was a little disappointed in, the crowds. Both these games had, one was 1,500 and Manitowoc Saturday afternoon was 1,811. I don't know. These buildings seat over 3,000, both of them. For games of that magnitude, I was shocked.
Is that right?
It's really sad to me that high schools in this state right now can't draw better for these big games. Now, how was the girls' attendance at the Resch?
Remarkable. Blew my mind.
Like how many, really?
I'm really bad. I mean, it wasn't, you know, packed to absolute capacity, but there were a lot of people there. You know, the student sections were loud. The atmosphere was great. I think the only school that didn't have many students was from South Shore, you know, way out there, because they have like 10 people in their senior class, but they have that Gustafson who scored more points than any girl in Wisconsin State history. She was really good. But yeah, it was great atmosphere, a lot of people. I just can't say enough about it. I mean, I thought it was a great event all 3 days.
I encourage people probably 10 times a year. I'll run into some friends or something, and I'll just say, when's the last time you went to a high school game?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, it's been years. And I'll say, just go, man. You'll be in that gym for an hour and 15 minutes, football game, 2:10 maybe, something like that. The tempo of play without commercials will stun you. You'll go in there, you'll forget your trouble, you'll pay $4 or whatever it is, and you'll just forget about everything. You'll see the intensity on these kids' face. I love high school sports, and I wish everybody would support them a lot more than they do.
Great, great point. And you saw Germantown. Obviously, they're a power in the state. Are they going to win it all again?
Well, I haven't seen Stevens Point, and that, you know, is a team that's supposedly really tough. Don't know. Germantown's not as good as they have been, but they're so well coached, and these kids just expect to win. They have a big fan following, and they're talented enough. They got two or three Division I guys there. It's just not quite like the past, but they're going to be awful hard to beat for anyone.
And while we're on it, shout out to Mark Stewart, our preps writer. Great guy. If you guys don't read him, check it out. Follow him on Twitter, everything. They don't get much better than him, man. Just a great, great guy. It's always good to work with him.
I was in there Thursday night after covering that Germantown game, and I wrote my story. And 10 to 11, we couldn't get the box score on Milwaukee Marquette.
Yeah.
And one of the people came up to Mark, who was finishing up his story, and then you got any contacts, and Mark's giving him phone numbers trying to chase on the box. I mean, this is a thankless task in this day and age, but this guy like Mark, who organizes all that stuff for all these sports, it's an incredible endeavor, and I totally think the world of him.
Absolutely. Well, you'll be dragging Pat on down to Madison, I hear.
I will.
For championship Saturday.
She's going to another WIA final for me.
I'm dragging her right down there.
Can't stay away. I think we've missed one of the last 18 years or so. Now, Tyler, I go as a fan. Love it. Bill Windler, our former assistant sports editor, goes every year as well.
Does he?
All right, so I understand you're covering it.
Yes, we'll be down there with Mark.
Wow.
So it'll be good. Diamond Stone, Ellenson, there's some big-time talent on the boys' side, too.
Let me mention the choice of music here today. We got the Supremes, right?
Oh, that's right. We just kind of skimmed right over the
mid-60s
selection there.
Stuff.
Yeah.
My brother was quite a bit older than me, but he had a stereo system at my house up in Upper Michigan when I was in high school. And I would say before every home game, I listened to the Supremes before going to the gym. You know, that was a big thing.
What?
And so I picked out this high school music. 45 years ago tonight, I played my final high school game, Tyler. I checked the date downstairs. I thought I was right. March 18, yeah.
What happened in that final high
school? The Michigan Class B state quarterfinals. Michigan's A, B, C, D. We're in B. And we lost at Alpena, Michigan to Bay City All Saints 77-70.
Oof. Did you leave some plays on the table that still kind of
I missed some shots. I missed some shots that I'll never forget. You remember that last game, and I can just tell you almost everything about that game, yeah?
Really?
7-point lead at halftime, and it went away.
So this is the anniversary.
Yep.
What about that music got you jacked up? I mean,
I don't know.
Just kind of...
I think my brother influenced me. He liked it, and isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I listen to it constantly, yeah.
I'd imagine, well, I guess you didn't have hardcore rap or rock or anything. We didn't have many choices back in the 60s.
Well, we had the Beatles and the Stones. I mean, they were coming of age right then, but I was into that Motown from a young age.
Like a little angry rap music before an event like that. All right, well, 7.5 minutes in, I guess we should talk some Packers, huh?
One more thing. I'm a lot more into this high school state tournament right now than the NCAA, personally. I mean, yeah, I'll fill out a bracket with my son's pool and my daughter and all this, but I want to watch these games on Madison on TV Thursday and Friday.
I mean, I think college basketball, I mean, there's been a lot said about this, you know, by a lot of different people, but they got some problems. I mean, the shot clock at 35 seconds, it's got to be 24. There's got to be more urgency.
Hmm.
I just think the product has to be better. I mean, you know I'm an NBA guy.
Yeah.
So they should really just adopt every rule, everything they have in the NBA for the college game.
I mean, I'm going to watch the heck out of the NCAA primarily after this weekend, but I hear what you're saying.
It's great. In March,
it's a good game.
March Madness is always great,
yep.
So I shouldn't just hate it.
All right, football.
All right, so Randall Cobb,
back.
Brian Bulaga, he returns. Tremont Williams, gone. Devon House, gone. Give me your instant hot take.
Well, on the take, on Cobb, I...
Unsponsored hot take.
On our last podcast, I said I thought Cobb was gone 55-45%.
Is that what you put it at?
Yep. That's what I said on this thing. And you said...
I thought he was gone, too.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know what the percentage was. But.
Yeah. So they got it done. 4-year deal, you know, instead of a 5. Good contract for him. Good contract for the club.
So, I mean, I'm hearing he had multiple offers at 12 a year. Have you heard anything at
some
of the other teams that were out there? It
don't
sounds
know.
Like Miami was in the picture, maybe Oakland. Anyways, when it came down to, I mean, he took less money to stay in Green Bay to play with Aaron Rodgers. And he'll have a chance at another contract. I mean, 4 years from now, he'll have a chance to get another deal. So Green Bay, though, I mean, they did have to stretch themselves a little bit here as well. You know, they went a little higher than they initially wanted to. Why is that? How do you think Ted Thompson, Russ Ball, and the Packers kind of played that all?
Like we talked about, I think they probably saw other dimensions to this guy, the third down back. God, I mean, that was outstanding down the stretch when McCarthy put him in the backfield. He's a return guy. He's young. He's 25.
Yeah, isn't that something?
You just can't really lose a player like that.
Is it a big deal at all that he makes more money than your number one receiver, Jordy Nelson?
To me, it's not at all.
I don't think Nelson really cares either, but who knows. They returned them both. You were quick to say, I think, on our last podcast, how much Cobb really does mean to Green Bay. And, yeah, they probably could have found ways to work around it. It's another good draft for receivers. Maybe they sign somebody. Maybe they make a big splash elsewhere. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is a receiver who has just such a great rapport with Aaron Rodgers. That's something you value as a team, and they valued it, and they keep him. Did you think that this was a good deal for both sides, basically? I mean, any concerns that this is a 5'10 slot receiver who's had some injuries?
Yeah, I mean, there is concerns about all that. They just waited out, you know, just felt they had to have. Now, did it affect them in how much money they paid House and Williams later on? Could have, if they felt they went over, they went, you know, $2 million mm-hmm. more here. I don't know. They're still 21 under the cap.
Yeah.
They can kind of do whatever they want to do, let's face it.
I mean, I tell you what, boy, Cobb in a contract year, it doesn't get much better than that, though. I mean, pound for pound, maybe the toughest receiver in the league. He took some shots. He can line him up anywhere. In the postseason, he was their best receiver, probably. The Dallas game, some big catches. I guess Seattle wasn't a great day for anybody, but if you look back at that game, I think we talked about it, he probably walks in for a touchdown if Devontae Adams can crash down a little bit on Earl Thomas. They get him back, and the whole receiving core, you know, Aberderis, Janis, and obviously Adams, they'll be a year older. Things are looking pretty good for Green Bay around Aaron Rodgers, including Brian Bulaga, which once Cobb returned, I think it was fair to say that it'd be tough for Brian Bulaga to come back too, but he took less money.
Yeah, there was a lot of guaranteed money at that position among right tackles. He got $8 million guaranteed, right?
That's what you reported that.
Orlando Franklin got $19 million guaranteed to go from Denver to San Diego. Jeremy Parnell with, I believe, 9 career sacks, starts, went from Dallas to Jacks for 14 guaranteed. And then Derek Newton, the right tackle for Houston, a 4-year starter, pretty good player, got $10 million guaranteed to re-sign.
Yeah.
But, hey, Bulaga wanted to play here. He's got his buddies. He's got injury problems in his past that I don't really know how much he could have gotten on that open market. Maybe they felt it out and didn't feel they could do it. I'm not going to tell anybody how he should go and whatever. He's comfortable. He's a real smart guy, and he's a heck of a player. And he's here. How'd you see it?
You know, I guess what stands out to me, and I think I wrote this for our Packer Plus this week, is, you know, we were all kind of wondering after that Seattle game, where is this team mentally? You know, what kind of state are they going to be in? And, you know, a lot of those 4th-and-26ers, Nile Diggs and Larry Bechtel and these guys, they say it's tough to get over a loss like that. It takes months. It can drip into next year. And I think Green Bay's basically done everything right throughout the offseason. I mean, they kind of weeded out all of the memories from that game, the goats, if you will, the Sean Slocums, Brandon Bostic, Brad Jones, Mike McCarthy himself, right or wrong. I mean, makes a huge change. It's going to oversee the whole operation. Gives up play calling. And then Randall Cobb and Brian Bulaga, I mean, it'd be really easy for one or both of those guys to just kind of get out of here, get a fresh start somewhere and start anew. But, you know, for them to take less money, maybe substantially less money to stay, I think they kind of acknowledge that, yeah, they were one of about 15 whatever different plays from getting to the Super Bowl. You're on a team that is going to compete for a Super Bowl next year if you do return. I don't know. To me, it's just a reflection that maybe they are in a better place mentally than what we think. Because, I mean, both of those players, the day after, and they're in the locker room. I remember Cobb is standing there. I mean, you could just see it. I mean, I mean, it was shock the night before, anger the next day, disbelief. I mean, they felt they were the better team, but they all returned. They took a little less money. Just for the overall kind of health of the team and the roster, I think it's a pretty good sign. What do you think?
So no doubt. Get two players like that for your price, in effect.
Yeah.
Huge moves. All right, so now we move the start of free agency, and we're doing this on Wednesday afternoon. They have not signed anybody, Green Bay. And now let's go to the cornerback position.
Right.
So the first one to fall was Devon House. 4 years.
It was 6.5 a year, right?
Yeah.
For 4 years.
24.25 or so. I don't know. Something like that.
One math class in Syracuse. I can't do that in my head.
$10 million guaranteed.
Okay.
Goes to Jacksonville. Not sure what Green Bay really was offering there.
Yeah.
How do you see it?
Well, the fit makes sense, right? I mean, his head coach and his defensive back coach at New Mexico State are both on the Jacksonville staff. So, yeah, you can bet. I know there's tampering rules and all that out there, but you can bet that those two sides have been talking for a while and feeling each other out and seeing if they can work together again and all of that. And Devon House has made no bones about it. He wants to be a number one corner. He wants to take on the best of the best. He did it sporadically in Green Bay. Played Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones well, but he's been hurt. He hasn't done it over a long period of time. So, you know, more than anything, as a young player, I mean, you want that opportunity and you want money, and he wants to play with the coaches he knows. So it just makes a ton of sense on his part. And I don't fault Green Bay for not going that high. I mean, he's still kind of an unknown, and that's a lot of money for someone who's still kind of an unknown.
He's 25 years old. Just like Cobb, it's attractive as heck for Jacksonville to get a player like this, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of people say, well, don't let the fans will say, you know, you hear it all the time in Green Bay, well, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out of town, you know? It's just absurd. I mean, House was a really good player here. I mean, he did excellent things on special teams.
Yeah.
He's a hustler. What the Packers thought of him, I don't know.
I mean, are fans really, like, saying that, though, with Devon House? I mean, can't they understand that
some
this is kind of a no-brainer?
Some can't. Once you leave Green Bay, that's it, man. You're a traitor, a turncoat. Goodbye, good riddance.
Give me a break, people. Oh, man.
And the same thing's happening with Tremont, you know? I mean, the guy led him to as you wrote here, I mean, he was fantastic down the stretch in 2010. He played that position as well as it's been played in Green Bay. I don't even know. We could debate Williams and Woodson, but that's for another day.
And he was really good these past two seasons.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He enabled them to blitz like crazy, Capers. Provided leadership.
And let's get to that later.
Better
on.
Leadership than Woodson ever provided, I might add. We'll get into that some other day. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
You can go on.
No, I don't want to.
You don't want to. Okay. But one good point you kind of raised there is it's crisis is a strong word, but I mean, huge part of their defense. For all the talk about Clay Matthews moving inside linebacker, I mean, you wrote the column down the stretch. Maybe the number one reason their run defense turned around was that Williams and Shields, they could go one-on-one with wide receivers along the perimeter, and you could drop Morgan Burnett down at the box, and he was a great tackler. I mean, he was great on the edge there. You can't do that right now, or at least you don't know if you can do that right now.
I gave Williams, I thought, you know, on these final grades, I think about this for several weeks, and then that week of, I gave Tremont a B, Shields a B-, House a C, and Hayward a C-.
Hmm.
They lost their best corner. Now, entering this past weekend, Williams was looking for 4 years, $30 million, which is 7.5, and 15 guaranteed. That's where it was entering the weekend. The Packers, about 10 days ago, they were at $4 million a year for him. I think they were looking 2 years, $8 million. They went up to $5 million entering the weekend. And when push came to shove on Monday, the Packers went to $5.2 million. Okay, the numbers just came out on Tremont. He got 7.0 from Cleveland. He was on a 3. He was looking for 7.5 on a 4. You know, you one less year, you get less average. 3 years, $21 million. 10.0 guaranteed. He's 32. When he was age 27, when he signed the four-year, $32 million extension, that's in November of 2010, he got 13.043 guaranteed. So the guaranteed is only about $3 million less 5 years later. It's a heck of a deal. He struggled when he saw House, I'm told, when he saw House get the 625.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure he's happy for House. They're friends. But he was, even though he wanted to come back to Green Bay in the worst way, and he really liked it here, he had done a lot for charity. I mean, this is a terrific guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when he saw the House thing at 625 with 10-0 guaranteed from Jacksonville, and obviously he's a better player than House right now, and he should be, you would think he'd be better this year, barring a big change in House, but I don't see Tremont slipping, falling this year at all. He just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And at 5 or 5.2, he couldn't do it. And so he's gone to a rebuilding team with excellent cornerbacks and Joe Hayden. And you got to assume Justin Gilbert will become a player at some point.
And I don't, you know, talking to people on this end too, I don't get the sense at all that there's any ill will at all on Williams' side with his camp, that he really appreciates that this is the team that took a chance on him when nobody else did. And they're the reason that he is in this position. But yeah, that is a lot of money. And if you're the Packers, you stick at a little over five a year, that's a tough call. I mean, it kind of comes down to what we've talked about on here. Do you believe that the Tremont Williams of 2013, 2014 will be the Tremont Williams that you'll get in 2015, 2016? He believed he is still the best athlete on the team. Nope, nobody takes care of their body better than Tremont Williams. I mean, we've talked about the yoga he's done with Ryan Cunningham down at Flow Yoga Studio there in East Apeer. Remember that story from last offseason?
Mm-hmm.
And it's unbelievable that he just does the poses and the different things on the yoga mat that nobody else can even attempt at this age. And so he's dead certain that he'll be able to play at this level for at least two, three more years. Ted Thompson, we've seen time and time again where he just kind of lets a veteran go. He kind of sees that this player falling off at some point, and he's usually been right. We're going to see pretty soon if he's right with Tremont Williams. Right now, Williams believes he's going to beat the odds and that he's going to beat the numbers. By the way, he turned 32 the day he signed that contract with the Browns.
His body and his conditioning year-round is a lot like Al Harris.
Hmm.
Al played long, unbelievable physical fitness nut. He told me of these sit-ups he would do around his house periodically, like every day. 500, 1,000 sit-ups. Al Harris had the same kind of body as Tremont. You know, I didn't see slippage in Tremont's speed, but when I talked to these three scouts earlier in the month,
right,
it was interesting. The guy said he didn't play as well as this year as he's played in past years. He went from being really fast to fast. He could still do it. Just how long can he still do it? Another guy said you're going to worry about him getting matched on speed down the field against some of the top players. Still quick, he has short to mid-range cover skills, but a lack of deep speed and potential decline of deep speed and issues if you're looking at him as a starter. I didn't see that, but when these two guys said that stuff, it made me think. Mm-hmm. It did, and made me understand the Packers' position. I didn't see it now, but...
Right. Well, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it is worth noting that so Williams, what, the past year and a half or so, probably midway through 2013 is when he really started doing it, really started playing off more.
Mm-hmm.
Where he might be matched up on a receiver, but he'll play off. And the way he describes it is he's not really even worried about the receiver in front of him because he knows what he's going to do. He's trying to look at that offense as a whole, and that's something that Charles Woodson did very, very well. And with Tremont Williams, you know that he can play inside, so if that speed does start to kind of get a little shaky at some point, you know he can move inside, but Green Bay didn't really want to budge that much, I guess, and go to that number, go to 7 a year. So what now? I mean, you have Casey Hayward, Demetri Goodson, Micah Hyde, opposite Sam Shields, obviously, on the other side. I mean, Hyde is an inside guy, right? I mean, speed-wise, they probably won't be putting him out there on an island, although he did do it at Iowa. He was an outside corner in college himself.
I mean, let's face it now, T. They drafted Hayward in the second round, right? To start, they wouldn't have done that. Not to start. He played outside a lot as a rookie. 7 games when there was an injury to Shields, I believe.
In 2012.
Yeah, Casey said, I remember talking to him last year, and he reminded me, he said, yeah, well, I started 7 games outside.
Yeah, yeah.
He played a lot. Okay, whatever in the past, doesn't make any difference. He's now the starter. He's got to come through. He's Ted Thompson's second-round pick. The guy's got to do it. He's the starter on the left side, and he's got to come through.
Right now he's the starter.
Can he do it?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know, can he do it? He has to do it. We haven't never seen him without Tremont Williams. Now he's got to do this.
You know, it is interesting, though, in training camp. I remember you did a story, I think his rookie year, you noticed it in one-on-ones very soon, that this guy, he can cover one-on-one out wide. I mean, you've seen it in practice, and you have to think that Green Bay, that's in the back of their mind with all this, is even if they haven't seen it a lot on game day and a lot the past couple years with his injury, what have you, they know he's done it in practice, and that it kind of comes down to Joe Witt, the cornerback's coach. I mean, he's worked his magic with Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, undrafted guys, Woodson at the end of his career, a lot of different players. They're really counting on him to, you know, help Hayward with that technique, because you do have a different receiver out wide. I mean, you have a bigger, longer, different animal than a 5'10", 6-foot slot receiver. And it is interesting. I mean, it is easy to forget that he did it a lot in 2012, but it has been a while.
Yeah. Micah Hyde, he's going to have to play some outside to a degree. I mean, he's a fifth-round pick, and he runs mid-4-5s. All right, well, I don't know what they're going to do with their scheme. Maybe they become more of a zone team. I don't have any idea, but, I mean, he's definitely in the picture. And now let's go to Goodson. You take your jump in the second year. He's a sixth-round pick. I mean, they didn't put a sixth-round pick on this guy thinking he was going to be a career dime back or something.
Right.
I mean, they think you take guy in the sixth, you think he can become a starter. He's 5'11". He's got enough speed, 4.52. Witt said late in the year the question on him is whether he can play, do things at the ball. And that's where he struggled. He's the basketball player who he's raw, right?
Yeah, I remember the first couple weeks of training camp there. I mean, he was kind of getting picked on regularly in those red zone drills, kind of lobbing it up to receivers. But he did some things toward the end of camp. Wasn't there a play in the last exhibition game where he kind of broke up a deep pass?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the speed on special teams. I think the word used is reckless. He does kind of have that element to his game. But you're right, making plays on the ball, that will probably be the big thing for him. And that's something that Williams did incredibly well.
The other corner on the roster is Tay Glover Wright, who was on the practice squad from October 6 on. Glover Wright can really, really run, like 4.3 run, but he's thin. He put on, I think, almost 10 pounds in Green Bay during this 2 or 3 month period. They're high on the guy, and with Witt's coaching ability, I mean, they're really lucky they got Witt, that he hasn't gotten a coordinator job somewhere and that he's still here.
Do you think they regret letting Jamal roll slip away? They had him on the practice squad. Texans signed him.
He played about 22% down there in Houston, and I talked to a scout about him about 2 months ago after the season. They thought he was a 4.
Okay.
Maybe a 3, but
kind of a limited ceiling.
He did not set the world on fire in Houston.
Right. Okay. Moving along, I mean, the other free agents, B.J. Raji, John Kuhn, Matt Flynn, Latroy Guyon, Jamari Lattimore is visiting with the New York Jets today.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then, we didn't mention the RFAs. They let Boykin walk. He'll be a free agent. And they tendered Barclay and Richardson. So out of all that, I guess let's hit on nose tackle real quick. Caught up with B.J. Raji last week. Very realistic guy. I think he gets it. He knows at this point he's kind of back to where he was, you know, last year at this point with that prove-it deal that he took, and then he missed the whole year with a torn bicep tendon. But pretty phenomenal. I mean, he really does sound like strength-wise, and I think that's a concern you have with a bicep injury is how much can you really hit the weight room when you have that. Talk to Raji and talk to his trainer out there, a former New Jersey strongman. He said that on a squat machine, not a squat rack, but a squat machine, he did 1,100 pounds, which is unreal. Did that. He's been, you know, benching 435, 445, some high numbers. So it appears that his strength is doing well. You know, don't know the bicep curls, if he's exactly doing a lot of those, but strength-wise, he's good, and he really wants to get back to that 2010 form. You know, the last time he was extensively a nose tackle, remember, that was the plan going into last season. They were going to plug him back there. He looked really good through training camp. Looked like he might kind of become that player again, and he gets hurt. Just a really bad break, terrible timing for him. So he should be able to return on a pretty reasonable deal, wouldn't he? Or like you said, with big guys, I guess you never really know.
He's going to get some cash here. I mean, the Packers might, maybe they're talking to him right now, but I don't think he's going to come back on bended knee. There's no need to have to do that. I mean, the noses have gone off the board. You got Vince Wilfork got 4.5, and he's an older guy. Terrence Knighton, Porkchop, got 3.5 from Washington. And Dan Williams got that massive contract from the Raiders. Everybody gets massive contracts from the Raiders. Is Al Davis still here?
I don't think he's with us, Bob.
All right, Kenrick Ellis, I think, just did something today from Jets. I think he went somewhere.
Yeah.
But you got Atta, however you pronounce that, Ruben, the guy from the Browns, and Raji. Gianna'd be right there if he didn't have the off-field stuff. And then Ryan Pickett. I mean, that's your nose tackle list. The money's going to come to Raji real soon. And if they don't sign Raji, they're going to have a draft pick there.
It's every year in the draft, it seems like it's so hard to project that kind of player, isn't it?
Just take care of Raji or Gian or both right now, and then you can save a pick for elsewhere.
Boy, bad timing for Guyon to just be carrying around a pound of weed and $190,000 on a gun, huh? Kind of bad timing for something like that. He could have really cashed in somewhere.
Yes, he could have been 3 for 9, probably, something like that.
Yeah. All right, well, here's what Raji said. He said, quote, "I've got to dominate on the field, and then we can start talking. Like I say to my friends, I'll say to you, my business is to get back on the field, stay healthy for a year, dominate like I know I can, and then everything will take care of itself." So in his mind, I think he knows that, yeah, it might be a one-year deal if that's what he has to do, but you never know. He, quote, "I had to step back and say, listen, BJ Raji, when people think of your name, no matter how good of a person you are, they're going to think of the football player. You can't change that. The only thing you can change is what they remember. So now I understand that even though it's a game, it's my job, and that's how I'm going to be perceived, right, wrong, or different, and that's worth more than money." He wants to return to Green Bay. He said that after the season, when he talked to Mike Turkovic, Mike McCarthy, Dom Capers, he expressed to everybody that he wants to be back. They expressed to him that they, I believe, felt the same way. And, look, I mean, he's stuck around town. You know, he didn't have to. He could have got the heck out of here.
Yeah.
Got out of Northeast Wisconsin in the winter, but he stuck around and was in 2 or 3 meetings a week helping out the younger D linemen. So former 9th overall pick kind of comes down to Green Bay. Do you believe he can stay healthy and return to that 2010 form?
I don't know about 2010, but I think he can stay healthy and play. He's never been hurt. Well, no, he has been hurt a little bit. Ankle the rookie year, I think it was, yeah. I think Rachi's 28, really missed the game. I think he can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking for the defense for improvement on the defense. We got Kyrie Thornton coming back. You know, Kyrie's back for a year or two.
Don't give up on Kyrie Thornton.
But the biggest positive for this defense in the last 2 months, removing A.J. Hawk's 875 snaps. No longer will they be.
Wow.
Will they dare to put him on the field?
Coming out firing, Bob.
How much of a plus is that for the defense? Enormous.
Well, they don't have it. They need to get an inside linebacker, though.
They got Joe Thomas. Anybody. They're all better than what we saw from number 50 last year.
You were.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Resign Jamari.
He got a 2-year deal with Cincinnati.
He did. So did Marshall went over to the left after a bad year in Cincinnati. Marshall went to the Giants.
What was the contract the Newhouse got?
1.0 guaranteed. 2 years, 3.0, I believe. Mm-hmm. 1.0 guaranteed.
Okay.
Marshall's got the feet.
What did you write on him after that season? Too soft to play guard? You didn't see a lot in Marshall Newhouse when he was here, did you?
No. Marshall's still kicking. He's got a job. So the quarterback, we wanted to discuss Tolzien. He re-signed. I guess we haven't been into that.
Yeah.
They gave him 100 to sign.
He's I mean, they could still draft somebody.
I think they will
draft
somebody.
They probably will. But Tolzien is the number two. I mean, they don't pay him that kind of money unless you
what
see
him. What kind
of
money?
That's money.
$100 a sign? That's chicken feed. A little bit better base. I mean, was it 1 year, 1.2? If they draft somebody in the first, second, third, or fourth round, Tolzien probably won't even be here if this guy shows anything. They want to get better at that position. I liked what Tolzien did in the games in 2013 and last August.
You don't think he can be the number two, though?
Oh, he can be. Can he win games as a number two? I would think they would be questioning that.
Hmm.
Any sane person would. They want to get better, Tyler. They're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
And their fans expect them to win a Super Bowl.
Well, all right. Well, they'll have some possibilities there in the draft. And I don't know. I like Tolzien. I think he had, he was a 112 rating in the preseason, and he played against some number twos. He had a stretch there. He played pretty well. He's been around. They know what they have. It is just kind of odd that he never leapfrogged Flynn, I guess, at some point last year. If it was an ongoing competition, they kind of liked Flynn as the number two still. But all right, he's back.
Will Flynn get a job?
He's probably one of those guys that is on speed dial, like once the season starts for teams, maybe.
All right, who's he competing against for work? Matt Schaub got there yesterday. Michael Vick, Tarvaris Jackson. Mr. Moore, Matt Moore from Miami.
Tebow?
Jason Campbell?
Yeah, you saw Tebow got
Mr.
a workout.
Mr. Flynn and Ryan Lindley. Yeah, Tebow went with Chip for a workout.
Yeah,
huh?
Give him a chance.
That could work.
Give him a chance. I like Tebow.
Tebow took his team to the playoffs.
He did.
By hook or by crook. I mean, he won some games.
All he does is win. He's a winner. All right, let's move on to something else here. We gotta hit on the number one sports story in America this week. Chris Borland, former Wisconsin Badger linebacker, as you all know, walking away from the game after 1 year. Just, played great, 100-plus tackles in 14 games, all the concerns about his size, third-round pick, San Francisco, he's going to step in and maybe become one of the best linebackers in the game. And he basically walked away for millions of dollars because of concern over brain trauma, over collisions, over CTE down the road.
All right, so Tyler, you did a great story today. You interviewed Mr. George Koontz, the Packer inside backer from 92 till about 98, 99. Can't remember, George. Monty Ball, the running back who played for the Badgers. And Jake Peterson, the tight end. It was a terrific story. It was fascinating.
Thanks.
In many ways.
Thank you.
What are some of the things you learned from these guys, and how do you see it?
Well, I guess, first of all, so Koontz, he co-wrote the book, Is There Life After Football? Surviving the NFL. Has gone through all kinds of stuff since he left the game, and Borland reached out to him, wanted to get together when he was considering retirement, flew into Madison, drove to Fond du Lac where Koontz lives, they got dinner, they kept in touch, and Koontz just kind of laid it all out there and said, look, Koontz would do it all over again. He had what he said was 11 concussions in his career, 7 surgeries, he's got 3 herniated discs in his neck, 2 in his back. As he told me in the story, he would still do it all over again because of his family's financial situation, because of where he came from. He felt he needed to do that. He needed to support his family. And as he said, that's the case for 70% of the people in the NFL. And in talking to Borland, he found out, all right, Borland, his dad is a financial planner. He played football himself. He knows the rigors of the job, what it can do to you. And Borland just came to that educated decision, to walk away, and he did his research. He read about Mike Webster and Dave Duerson and these guys that die, in some cases, commit suicide. It is such an honor. I just really recommend, it really changed my personal opinion on it all is you watch League of Denial, the documentary, but read the book too, and it really opens your eyes on CTE, and it's basically you can't see CTE until you see an autopsy until it's too late, and it's just such an unknown, and we're still learning so much about it. You play high school football. I played high school football. I probably would still let my son play down the road. I mean, it did so much good in our lives. In football in general, there's always going to be a willing workforce. There's going to be people that want to play. That's going to be there. But the concern here is, and I thought Tom Crabtree put it great, and there's a Q&A with him on the blog if you guys want to check it out. He said, look, okay, yeah, the workforce will always be there. And he said, there's going to be people that if you tell them your brain's going to be riddled with CTE in 10, 15 years, they'd still go do it. But this is not a good look for the NFL. And the more people die, the more people commit suicide, the more people struggle through dementia, what have you, these rules, year to year, Crabtree believes, will keep changing the game. If you keep wanting to get the game toward a point where there is no brain trauma, I mean, what does the game even look like? It's not football, he said. And he said it's physics. Like, it's just impossible to make somebody come to a complete stop when they're going 20, 25 miles an hour. Flag football, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's a problem for the NFL, even if you do have that willing workforce. And it's a problem because a guy like Chris Borland, as Monty Ball said, as Jacob Pedersen said, he loved the game. This is the absolute last person they ever expected to walk away because he's the first one to show up, the last to leave, just lived, ate, slept, breathed the job, the position, and he said, thanks, but no thanks.
When I saw that Monday night, I was as shocked as I've been with a news story in, like, years.
Yeah.
For all those reasons you just said, this guy, Mr. Football, the smartest guy, the toughest guy, overcame all these odds, played hurt, played with all these bad shoulders, played well as a rookie. It was just a stunning thing. He's so smart.
He really is. Didn't he have a 33 on his Wonderlic, too?
I can't remember. Yeah.
Right up there, maybe.
Way up.
This isn't a rush decision, and this isn't a decision of seeking spotlight or trying to be a trailblazer or anything like that. This is... He came to this very, very thought-out decision, and he talked to people around the country before he made it. And
he flew in to talk to George Kuntz, who he knew had written the book and had all these physical problems.
That's what Kuntz said.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
How many concussions have you suffered?
It's funny, didn't I think about it? I was just actually talking to my mom about this morning. And there was a high school basketball, believe it or not, I was a freshman in practice. And I pump faked, and a senior, you know, JV versus varsity in practice, just came crashing down on me.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the last thing I remember is pump faking. And then I came to it when I was sitting on the bench.
Wow.
Everything in between, I just didn't remember at all. And at the time, I mean, I don't think I even thought about concussion. You know, like all these players say, it's, you know, you get your bell rung or a ding or whatever. But looking back, I mean, yeah, that was a concussion. Then there was a play. It's funny how you remember specific games. Pine Valley, senior year, football. I kind of ran a quarterback sweep to the left. It was my own fault. I was running a little too upright, and I got hit good. I mean, just slammed to the turf. And the next play, I threw like a screen pass, but it was just all a blur. It was just all, you know, going through the motions and just not being there. That was more of a mild one probably. But, yeah, I mean, as far as what we knew about concussions, it was – you know, almost like, hey, if it's not your leg or if you can run or anything, it's good. I mean, you can just shake it off and go. I mean, how about yourself?
I had one in practice. We were wearing real loose jerseys then, you know. I was back to pass. Some pass rusher grabbed my jersey and just flung me down. Head hit the ground. I was out cold.
Is that right?
The coaches said like 50, 60 seconds. Smelling salts. They had smelling salts in the medicine kit, you know, the old stupid metal medicine kit under the tree over in the corner. Smelling salts, sat out that practice and came back. You know, Borland said that he got a concussion playing soccer, right? I think he said that on the TV show.
Yeah, he played a lot of soccer growing up as a kid.
There's a lot of – my son played soccer, and so I got to learn the game. There's a heck of a lot of concussions in that sport from these, you know, headers and heads hitting each other.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, football's – in terms of just the different angles of collisions that you get in football and the way a helmet, just there's no such thing as a concussion-proof helmet. I don't know. I mean, it's,
you know,
different.
People have written books disputing that, saying that the concussion problem is based on percentage of participants is not that high, not that extreme. You know, I'm not really sure, but I heard a guy on public radio about 2 years ago, an author, and, I mean, he was vociferous in his argument, and he was making a lot of sense to what I heard. But the public perception is that it's a problem. And, you know, the NFL, they want to put a product out there that will support advertisers, fantasy football players, the gambling element, TV ratings. and enough to fill stadiums to a degree, but that's not really that important. They just want to keep doing that, and whatever the product that will sustain their game, they're going to try to do that.
Boy. Yeah, it is scary, though. I mean, these players that just don't know what's going on in their brain. You know, Tom Crabtree, you know, he says he might forget his keys or misplace a name, and he's scared. He thinks it might be CT. He doesn't know. He's got two kids living down in Tampa, Florida. He's still trying to figure out if he wants to continue his career or not, but really insightful stuff from him, and I'm sure this is something all players are kind of going through. So, I mean, all right, so are we going to see this happen more? I mean, is this going to become a trend is a strong word, but could there be more players that follow Chris Borland's lead?
There could be. I remember a lineman for the Titans, a pretty good lineman, Jacob Bell. He walked away, I think, because of concussion problems. More of the threat of concussion problems. I think there will be, but there's always going to be 1,000 guys there. Well, not. I don't know if there always will be, but right now there are 1,000 guys ready to take their places.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There always will be that, but then there's the public perception element, the mom element. I mean, every mother that has a child getting into the game and sees this, I mean, there's different elements to this that could affect the game long term, and we'll see what that is, and we'll see how much it can change the rules. I mean, Monty Ball just kind of sighed and was like, I don't know what else they can change. You know, he doesn't know, but we're about to find out.
You know, I think Goodell, I think, has talked to people about outlawing the three-point stance for linemen, getting them up in a two-point. There'd be no real hard drive blocking. The running game would become, well, what's becoming right now, just an offensive show, you know. People love the points. The casual fan loves the points, and just flag football, 7-on-7, wing it.
I mean, really? I mean, we joke about that. I mean, 10, 15, 20 years, I mean, is it flag football?
I don't know. I really don't know.
All right. On that note, let's get to some questions.
All right.
All right. This one from – all right, this should be a quick hitter for you, Bob. Jason Dean, he asks, if no players are added, who starts at cornerback opposite Sam Shields? Can any of the younger players possibly beat out Casey Hayward?
Hayward gets first shot. If this hamstring stuff is in the past – should be the starter. They're going to try to draft. It's not a great year in the draft. Trey Waynes from Kenosha with a 4.35. Mm-hmm. He's way away from number 30 now. I don't know. I have no idea if they'd entertain Marcus Peters in that background or anybody else at number 30. They could trade up. They could trade back. They got to get a corner somewhere, though. But Hayward's a starter for now.
Agreed.
Yep.
Agreed.
All right, let me read one for you. Eric B., all right, Tyler, what's a bigger need, inside backer or corner?
Probably would still have to say inside linebacker. Sam Barrington, you have to expect him to get a shot to start. But, yeah, they need another guy in there, and they haven't found one in free agency. A lot of the players who would seem to be potential fits, they signed elsewhere, and they just might be looking at the draft, trying to fill it the same way they filled safety a year ago.
They can't bring back Brad or AJ either.
They're gone.
They're under contract elsewhere.
They are. They are. Okay. Pat Mack. Did Duane Harris never recover from injury? He always thought that he'd be a good third down back. Yeah, they never really used him when he came back from injury. Didn't really provide much on kick returns, and he's not tendered.
I think he is a good back. As a running back from scrimmage in early downs. I still like him. I saw flashes in training camp last year, even in exhibition games.
He does have that different low center of gravity style to him.
I mean, running
they could still bring him back, right? I mean, but probably doubtful.
Yeah, he's not a great. I mean, he fights in pass protection too, but you know, it's such a great year in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, I got him pretty far down right now. There's quite a few backs out there. I mean, I hope nothing for the best for the guy, but he's going to have a problem, getting anything right now.
Good point. All right, last one. Here's a really good question from Mike Price. Actually, we already hit on Casey Hayward. I meant Brian Snyder. Sorry, Mike. Brian, he asks, in light of the Chris Borland news, do teams try and measure potential draft picks' concern about player safety? And this is interesting because it's not like Chris Borland didn't have a love for the game. He loved the game. I mean, could you imagine him in those interviews with teams? I mean, he probably blew him away.
Yep.
And he walked away. So it's not a matter of loving or not loving the game. How do you, I mean, how you, it's not like you can sit in a room with a guy and be like, do you, are you going to play through a potential brain trauma for us for 10 years? I mean, what, how do you really gauge that? I mean, is this something that teams have to consider? I don't know. I don't have an answer.
How can you read that in a person, you know? I guess they'll try. They already hit the medical as hard as they humanly can. I guess they'll try. I don't know how you can read that in a person.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
All right, buddy. See you down in Madison.
Yeah.
For a little high school basketball.
And let's go back to the Supremes here,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah. Actually going to be your son Charlie's busy. I'm going to head down to Milwaukee for a little Bucks Spurs now.
You got to get moving.
I know. I know it. Got to do it.
All right.
The Bucks are struggling, man. They're struggling. Still think they should have kept Brandon Knight. I like that.
Do you?
Yeah. You know, I know he's going to get a big contract, all that, but who creates right now on offense when things break down?
I need to tune into my first Bucks game of the year.
You do?
Maybe tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.